anything you say from this point on could be used in a podcast.
Miyamoto never had to put up with a podcast like this.
Welcome, everybody, one and all, to the Fan Gamer Podcast. My name is Simon Roberts, but you can call me Kevin. This week, we're talking about sick things, cool things, awesome things, all kinds of things. I'll introduce you to the whole gang right here. First of all, we got the czar of the circus we call Fan Gamer. It's Reedman. Hey, Reed.
Howdy. I hope everyone has come to see the Lions. They are in season.
Not the Detroit Lions.
Oh.
No, they are thin and stringy.
The BC Lions. We got number two. It's the big bad bird with the man hammer, Falcon 24. Say hello, Derek.
How's it going?
It's going swell. I love it when people ask me how it's going, because it's always going great. We got the guy with the gun in his hand who's going places, James Picard 007. Hey, Joe.
Hey, Kevin.
How are you?
I am well. Yourself?
I'm terrific. We Fantastic. Have the master minion of the mailroom. Plo, say hello to Steve.
What's up, Canadian bacon?
Wow, that is absolutely not the pitch I was expecting whatsoever. And finally, we got the lady I usually skip, but not this week. It's Neo Paula. Hey, Liz.
Hey.
That's it? That's I remember it. You this week? I don't skip
wow, that's
you.
That's anticlimactic.
Hey.
Yeah, that's.
I am so disappointed.
You built it up so much, and I'm kind of messing around with my PK Yomega product of Fangamer. Wink!
Heck yes.
I don't really. I'm not too interested in responding to your antics and sinking to your level.
All right. Fair enough. No response to the antics. Let's talk about video games. What's everybody playing this week? Derek, what are you playing? You're the new guy. You have to go first.
What am I not playing? I've basically been playing every single Steam game I've downloaded for the last 2.5 months because it's exam period. So let me think off the top of my head. I've been dabbling a little with Assassin's Creed, The Witcher, Team Fortress 2, Left 4 Dead 2, Monkey Island, the Special Edition. Yeah, it was pretty good, I have to say, as someone who downloaded the original. Wink.
Actually, I have to ask, Derek, how do you like Assassin's Creed? Because I downloaded it when it was on sale, and I haven't had a chance to play it yet.
Good thing you downloaded it while it was on sale, because frankly, I mean, it's a good game. I enjoyed it, but definitely only worth $5.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Not a ringing endorsement there.
Well, I mean, it's fun. Some of it gets very, very repetitive, but the basic gameplay is pretty enjoyable. There's a lot of parkour. Jumping around on stuff, and that can be pretty fun.
Now, is this a first person thing, or is this more of a Mirror's Edge kind
of? It's a third person. So, and Mirror's Edge too. I've played that recently. Have you? Did you get that one too?
No, I saw somebody playing it once. I was like, oh, that's interesting, but never actually played it.
I hear that game gets you really motion sick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the Blair Witch Project of games.
Just put on like a scopolamine patch and sit down and play it. Get over it.
How am I supposed to play a game and drink my scotch if it's going to give me motion sickness? That just doesn't work.
You should man up.
Kevin, why don't you just put yourself on like an IV drip of scotch if it's that important to you?
Because they won't sell it in big enough bottles.
Question answered.
Yeah, can't ask more than that.
So let's move on. Hey, Steve, what are you playing this week?
I've been playing way too much Left 4 Dead 2. It is too much fun.
It is Left 4 Dead too much fun?
Oh, you could say that.
I did say that.
But you shouldn't.
I think three of the people here are actually playing Left 4 Dead 2 currently, and have been playing together.
Heck yeah, man. Derek, Steve, and I have been tearing it up a couple nights a week, or at least a couple times a week, because we usually, this week, we've been in the office for like 12 hours a day. And at that point, we're like, oh, man, we're too tired to actually get in the car and go home. Let's just sit down and play some video games for a while.
It's a good system.
I gotta say, my very favorite weapon in there has got to be the top-tier sniper. Oh, so sexy.
I'm a fan of the AK. You guys are getting very good at it, though, by the way, in Versus. We're playing the Infected, I have to say.
Thank you.
It was a trial by fire. We got told so bad the first round, we're like, we have to improve.
Reed, I understand that Derek rage quitted over you getting the tank at one point.
It was the first time I had played versus, more than a couple minutes straight. And I finally got the tank after playing for like 2 hours. And I proceeded to tear up everything in my path because I didn't know what I was doing. And the game hadn't really started yet. So we ended up killing everybody. And Derek came back. He's away from keyboard. He's like, oh, screw this crap. And so I felt bad because I thought he had rage quitted and I felt like a jerk. I later found out
it was a troll of a rage quit. I wasn't actually angry. I just wanted an excuse to leave the game.
I got to say, it worked pretty well because I bought it hook, line, and sinker and lock, stock, and also some barrels in there somewhere.
At least two, I would think. Left for dead, two smoking barrels.
Nice.
Yep.
So, hey, Reed, what's your favorite Left 4 Dead human to play as?
I always play as Rochelle. I don't know if I told you guys this already, but she's wearing a Depeche Mode shirt, and that's
pretty cool. You mentioned that last week or the week before. I forget.
So, yeah, that's
but yeah, we know you like Depeche Mode, Reed.
No, actually, I don't. I've never actually listened to them. I was like, oh, I know that band.
What, from the Venture Brothers, I'm guessing?
Yeah, I referenced all the Venture Brothers.
Nice. That's good to be like eight layers deep in not knowing a pop culture reference.
Liz, you know me too well.
No, I just know that I know about Depeche Mode for the same exact reason.
Watching the Venture Brothers is like trying to dig your way through the atomic particles of an element and just being like, oh, four shells down. That's a Brian Eno reference.
That was deep.
It's true, very deep.
That was actually quite over my head.
I'm going to roll this week. Wow. All right, so I'm assuming, Steve, you're playing a lot of Left 4 Dead 2 with Reed and Derek. So let's jump right over to Joe. What are you playing?
Right now, I am playing Prototype.
Oh, that's a sweet game.
How is that? I've never actually played it.
It's definitely sandboxy, but at least it's kind of terrible at first because when you first start the game, you start in media res. So the first thing you can do is, I kid you not, you can body slam a tank, or I should probably rather say elbow drop a tank, and it explodes and it is awesome.
And this is the first thing that happens?
It is like one of the first things you can do. Yeah, I mean, literally, it just jumps you in, like, right into the middle of the chaos. But see, it's just a teaser because after you play for, like, 5 minutes, you go back in the story about 3 weeks to where you've got absolutely, like, nothing.
You're going to have to backpedal here and give me some background. What is this Prototype business?
It's the one with the guy with electricity in his hands, isn't it?
No, that's Infamous.
Oh, that's Infamous, right.
Prototype is...
Prototype's the one where you can kick the helicopter.
Yeah, Prototype is when you're infected with some crazy virus that lets you, in a nutshell, like, take other people in and you get stronger. And the whole point of the game is basically, I'm guessing somebody sat down one day and said, why don't we just make a game where you can do every cool thing you've ever wanted and you basically can't die? Why don't we do that? And it turned out to be pretty cool if you like incredible amounts of violence.
I do enjoy large amounts of violence from time to time. It's why I picked up Mad World.
So I thought you guys were talking about that game where it's like a meta game where you start out and you got really low resolution and it's mostly blocky and you have to upgrade the graphics and the ship you're driving and all that stuff.
That sounds like World of Goo.
There's another game I bought and not even opened, not even
That's
played.
That's adorable. Go play really? World of Goo.
Yeah, is it good? I mean, I heard so much about it. I actually, because they had, like, they were selling it, you could pay any price. And so I paid $5. I thought, well, hopefully I'll play it.
It's definitely worth the $5. Like, I'd say it's worth up to, like, 10 or 15. It's a short game, but it's well put together, and some of them do make you think, and it's fun. It's well done.
All right, that's on the list after Assassin's Creed, or actually before Assassin's Creed now.
Well, you know, one thing, it's a game that you can play while you're playing other games because you can just do level by level. So you can do one level or like five one day and then just drop it and pick it up later.
Okay, that's pretty nice because I am pretty easily distracted by shiny things and other games.
Squirrel!
I don't know. I think you can do the same thing with big, long adventure games. It took me a year and a half to beat Metal Gear Solid 2 because I just stopped playing it one day and didn't pick it up for another 6 months.
I don't think anyone blames you.
It took you a year and a half because you didn't skip any cutscenes?
Oh. Ouch.
See, when I get to that point in the game, I just give up, and that's the end of it. I almost never go back.
No,
that's what
always,
happens to me.
It preys on me. It sits at the back of my mind.
Isn't there like
now, Chrono Cross is somewhere in the bottom of one of my big plastic tubs full of games, and it just, it's like, you should finish me.
Considering
come
the
here and play Chrono Cross. No, I have other games to play right now.
Kevin, considering the entire plot is literally in the last 5 minutes of that game, I think you should probably finish it.
Isn't there like an hour-long cutscene right before the final battle in MGS2?
Something like that. I forget. It's been a while, so I forget how long it is, but it's like too long.
It's a good... I remember the time I loaded that game for the last time. I played it for about 45 minutes, and at least half of that was cutscene.
It's not even, like, you can't call it a cutscene. It's just a codec conversation. I'm pretty sure it's between Solidus and Raiden.
But there's
like, isn't
also
there just a long one in there?
Aren't they standing next to each other while they're talking on the codec?
Yeah, but he's also talking to the artificial intelligence at the same time. Like, he's just getting yelled at from every direction.
Oh, and
but,
I guess
like, and right before that, there's the whole thing with Fortune. And then Revolver Ocelot tries to run away, and Snake goes after him. And there's all that, too. That takes a bit.
Actually, let me interrupt here. What was the deal with Fortune? I did not get that. I mean, I did get most of it, but I really didn't get that.
Oh,
well, actually,
I know
her
the answer
heart was
this.
On the right side.
Her dad was the army general who got shot at the very beginning on the boat.
I think her dad was also gay, for what it's worth, with Vamp.
Well, okay,
everyone's gay for Vamp.
Pretty much.
So wait a second. Name? The guy that got shot on the boat. Oh, you mean the commander of the...
Yeah.
The guy was talking to the Marines.
Yeah, that guy is Fortune's dad.
So what makes her, like... Why does she think she's invincible and can't get shot?
Because Ocelot and the Patriots gave her a little... I guess they slipped it on her at some point. I don't know how you wouldn't know this, but it's just like this tiny little black cube that projects a shield around her, and she doesn't know it's there, so she thinks it's some latent psychic ability. But as it would turn out, once Ocelot takes the box back from her, she still has that ability. It's like a children's story where when you think you finally can do something, you can do it. It's great.
Yeah, if you believe in fairies, you can block bullets with your mind.
Power was inside you all along.
See, that's what threw me off. Okay, thank you, Liz, for explaining that, because if they would have done that in the game, it would have made less sense but more sense.
They do explain it. I think, like, it's one of those things where Ocelot's talking in the voice like this, and it's going on, and you don't know what's happening.
That sums it up pretty well.
He didn't have any trouble at all putting the magical bullet-blocking bug onto Fortune. He just used his Ocelot hands.
That's true. They are good hands.
They are
very good
hands.
Thank you.
So, having talked about Metal Gear for a whole bunch of time, Liz, what are you playing?
What I'm playing, I'm going to throw you a curveball, and I'm not going to talk about what we talked about earlier. I mentioned earlier before we started recording that Matt and I got a PSP Go for Christmas, early present, since I am stuck here. I should have been home, but for the snow. And the PSP Go has been surprisingly great. I really am liking it a lot more than I thought I would. And I think it is a device specifically set up to optimize the theft of media. Because, not that I would do this, but as I have heard, it's great. It can stream anything from anywhere. Like, it's like there's that South Park where Cartman gets the Dawson's Creek Trapper Keeper
Trapper
and
Keeper
starts interfacing with everything. That's what the PSP Go does. It just starts interfacing with everything. Your Wellington Bear coffee mug, your Clyde Frog pajamas. It can do it all.
So what, isn't there a Metal Gear game that came out on the PSP Go, or it's going to?
It's going to. It's Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker, which is, I believe, a direct sequel to Portable Ops. I know your big boss in it, and I know this because I played the demo earlier, and it's definitely an improvement from the controls of Portable Ops, since the camera's easier to control, and it looks great. It looks like they ported Snake Eater onto the PSP, which I would be a huge fan of.
That is awesome. So is this What, I don't even know about Portable Ops, because I've only played the first three PlayStation games. What's up with Portable Ops?
Portable Ops took place right after... I haven't actually played Portable Ops. Like, I messed around a little bit with the controls, but it takes place right after Snake Eater, and I think Ava or Eva is on the run because they figured out she had a fake philosopher's legacy, and you're in South America or something. It's typical Metal Gear fare. It is canon, unlike the Acid games, and it kind of shows what happens to Big Boss and Ocelot and crew after the fallout from Snake Eater.
So it's not like, because I heard one of these was like a card game or something. I was like, oh, that doesn't sound fun at all.
I think it is the card game, actually.
So it's not like a standard, like, sneak around and shoot crap.
Well, instead of actually pulling the trigger yourself, you have a card that reads, shoot gun, and then you play that. Or I might just be making that up.
I don't know if this is the card one, or if Acid is the card, the two Acid games are the card ones. I gotta check that out. Regardless,
yeah,
I'm more excited for Peace Walker than I am for going back and playing Portable Ops.
Yeah, anything that perpetuates the fantastic, unbeatable excellence of Snake Eater, I am excited for.
It is. It looks to be a great game. I'm definitely excited about it. I'm also excited, on the vein of the PSP Go, about apparently you can download a bunch of old PS1 games onto your PSP, which is great because it's like Virtual Console, only it actually has good games people enjoy. So
hey,
I'm having
Virtual Console's got good games.
No,
not
it
really.
Doesn't.
Yes, it does.
Where's GoldenEye, Kevin?
Where's Banjo-Kazooie? Oh, on the Xbox. There you go.
Oh!
Yeah. Well, where's Earthworm Jim 2? Oh, that's right. It's on the Virtual Console.
Where's
Master
Earthbound
Blaster?
2?
Yeah, where's Earthbound, Kevin?
In the
No
world.
Response.
In
Game
the,
over, pal. Game over.
Exactly.
On the SD cards of intelligent subterfuge agents?
Fair point, but... doesn't count. The PlayStation Store, though, I'm really enjoying. I downloaded Final Fantasy Tactics for $10 because I figured that would be a good game to play portably. The font is very small, though, so that's kind of a pain. And I kind of can't decide if I want to be a huge loser and play Final Fantasy VII again. For another $10, I think
don't,
I might be that loser.
Don't do it.
Why not? It's got a black guy with a gun for a hand. That's so cool.
I considered doing the same thing recently, but I thought, you know what? I should really get through World of Goo and Assassin's Creed and, like, the 8 other games that I want to play, and I have not.
The trick is to make a list and actually have it in front of your face all the time, because then instead of just sort of feeling kind of bad that there are games out there you haven't played but you don't remember what they are, you feel really bad because you specifically know what games you're not playing.
Isn't there a website for that?
There's a website for everything.
Yeah.
In the time it takes...
called.
In the time it takes you to make that list, why don't you just start playing one of those games?
The trick is to just not do anything else until you finish the game, and then you realize how much time you've wasted with your life.
Yeah, just stop eating. Don't smell anything.
Yeah,
shut down
that's a real
all
time taker.
Senses that are unrelated to the game.
Yeah, speaking of which, wasn't there a list on Kotaku's gift? Like Christmas gift list of a sensory deprivation tank that costs like $25,000 that lets you do just that.
You
Wait,
can build your
gaming?
Own sensory deprivation tank for, you know, the price of a few pieces of plywood and Epsom salts.
Yeah, but it won't look like it came out of F-Zero or have like a hydraulic hatch that goes
This is true. It will not look quite as sci-fi. Actually, I went to a guy's house. We were filming a zombie movie, a student project thing, and in his basement he had a homemade sensory deprivation tank, and it was a black
a washing
plastic
machine.
Bathtub. It could have been, for all I know, that might have been where he got the parts, but it was just this black giant piece of plastic, and it kind of looked like he was building a murder room in his basement, you know, soundproof the walls so that people can't hear the screaming and so forth.
You should look for a box of slides with blood on them.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to look around too much, but yeah, he had the sensory deprivation tank right there in the middle of the room, and then everything else was just bare foundations and wood and saws and stuff.
Maybe he was
trained for that kind of stuff. Sorry.
Well, you know, when you're not playing video games all the time.
Wait, making scotch from the bodies?
I didn't say a thing. Keep moving.
Scotch, which we can plug into our arms intravenously while we play video games. And it all revolves back inward.
Scotch is made of people.
Only the good stuff.
Scotch is made of people.
So I, as I said, I've been playing a lot of Earthworm Jim 2, which I think is one of those rare cases where the sequel actually wound up being better than the original, but we're not here to talk about sequels. What is the grossest game that you think you've ever played? That is my question to you this week. Because the game itself, Earthworm Jim, not too disgusting. There's lots of mucus, it's weird stuff, but by the time you're like halfway through the game, you're into it. But if you remember, the original commercial had this grandmother character telling you all about how great Earthworm Jim was, intercut with scenes from the game, and then she starts eating worms.
That's better than Earthbound's commercial.
True enough. But it was just, this commercial was so bad, some channels wouldn't show it until after 10 o'clock because of the content. Because it's a grandmother, old lady, eating worms.
I feel like game commercials lack that kind of character these days. It's always just lots of cutscenes, like, here's a guy jumping on a roof, here's a guy with a knife. What happened to stuff like the Super Smash Brothers commercial, where it's people in furry costumes running through a field and beating on each other?
Times have changed.
Yeah, see, worst. Nowadays, you'll see furries running through a field and crowds of people chasing them and trying to beat on them.
I would play a Smash Brothers game based on that concept.
I always wondered, actually, Lucario, the blue dog Pokemon thing, gets more powerful the more damage he takes, right?
Right.
Yes.
So why doesn't he just go into battle with a razor blade and start cutting himself to get more powerful?
I read a comic book where a girl did that.
No, that was actually an obituary.
Go on.
Obituary in comic form. I know what I want to do for my funeral now.
You do that and I will be there.
But to answer your question, I don't know why Lucario wouldn't do that. Probably because he's kind of a baby and no one uses him long enough to give him the chance to cut himself.
Nice.
Would it be gross if he started cutting himself? Would that qualify as a gross thing?
Yes, that would be objectively gross. Why would you even posit that question? As if, like, we'd all be like, no, that would be cool. That's good.
No, I'm just saying, some people find different things to be gross. I used to know a guy in college who didn't like the Mario Brothers games because he didn't get this whole concept of jumping on Goombas. And he really had an honest dislike for the idea that you would have Goomba goo on your shoes after jumping on them.
Well, I don't remember any specific commercials, but I do remember reading about a game show video game. And this was back in Nintendo Power back in like 95. It's like Smash TV or something. Does anybody know what I'm talking about?
I love Smash TV. Smash TV is such a terrific game.
So am I talking about the same thing where it's like you're on a TV show where you're supposed to make money by killing people? Or something.
Yeah.
And you have Robotron style controls. So you can walk in one direction and shoot in another. And the way they implemented it was you get two controllers and you do like two fisted action. And so you're just holding them straight up, which is great for about the first level. And then your hands start to cramp up because Nintendo controllers weren't designed to be held that way.
It's also great for eating bear claws.
Yes. Thank you, Reed.
Just rehashing my Tommy Boy quotes, don't mind me.
Actually, Kevin, I thought of a grossest game I can think of.
Grossest game you can think of. Go, Steve.
D2 for the Dreamcast.
D2. Now, the Dreamcast was a terrific system.
Is it Diablo 2, or is this something else?
Mighty Ducks 2.
No, it's just D2. Oh. not Mighty Ducks, no, it's just called D2.
Was it the sequel to D?
I don't know. I never heard of any other game in the series aside from just D2.
Well, was that the one with like the six-armed dog and the crazy scientist and then the guy with like the pointy nose hat?
Oh, no, you're thinking of MDK.
MDK is terrific.
That game's awesome. I played that on the iMac like back in 1999.
Kevin, what's that game on the VC, that hockey game that you insist everybody plays with you?
Blades of Steel.
That's the grossest game.
What?
That is the grossest game.
You don't even get blood when you punch a guy in the face. How's that gross?
The time spent playing it is gross.
Yeah, let's hit it on the head.
Oh, shush. Every minute spent with Blades of Steel is a terrific minute.
A gross misappropriation of time.
Not at all. Blades of Steel is a classic, man. You're all getting Blades of Steel for Christmas.
Isn't Blades of Steel the one game that's so old that your main rival in the game is the USSR?
No, that's Ice Hockey.
Oh, okay.
I thought that was Ice Rocky.
Hey, Kevin, sorry to back up a bit, but do you want me to tell you why D2 was the grossest game? Or
No, I was going to come back to that any decade now. We did ramble a little away from the point. Yes, Steve, what is D2 and why is it the grossest game?
First of all, parental guidance or parental warning thing. It's pretty gross, but I'll try to use at least the colorful words I can.
Parental discretion is advised.
Okay. Well, basically the plot of the game is there's some infection or virus going around that takes you over and your blood turns green and weird, crazy plant crap and all sorts of stuff just bursts out of your body. Pretty much you become a crazy zombie. In the game, it's like this, you're in some snowy area and there's this one lady who doesn't really talk and doesn't really do much. And you run around and try to figure out what's going on. And there's a friend of yours, that you meet there who's like sort of fighting the same battle. Anyways, there's a scene in the game that I didn't go through the entire game. This is the furthest I got, and that's all I can take. You're, I guess, some crazy guy who's constantly popping pills, has you and presumably your friend tied, sitting down on like a couch or chair or something, and he's waving around a pistol. And anyways, he starts like barfing, and then like he goes and drinks, eats more pills from the bottle, and then goes and shoots your so-called friend in the knee, and green blood splatters around. And then it's like, ah! It's like freaking out because she's infected, or she's like a monster thing. So then, and she's wearing is like a bath towel. So she stands up, and her bath towel falls off, and she's naked, which is crazy for a video game that was released in the U.S. Suddenly a bunch of gurgling noises start happening, and the guy looks down at her crotch, and a big giant monster head pops out of there, bites his head, and rips it off. And then the guy starts running in circles without his head on, and then falls down and dies. And then suddenly your actual friend busts in the door with a shotgun and blows her away and is like, I just killed myself.
This sounds like a Tarantino movie.
No, it sounds like the plot of Idle Hands.
This sounds like either a remake of John Carpenter's The Thing or the best video game that I have never played.
What system was this for?
This is for Dreamcast. It's called the letter D and the number 2.
Wow. Wow, gotta get me a Dreamcast again.
It would be really cool if the plot you just described was the plot for a video game for Mighty Ducks 2.
Mighty Ducks 2, the greenening.
At first it sounded like Goosebumps, and it was like, oh, wait a second. Oh, no, that's not Goosebumps at all.
Was it like Fear Street, like the mid-tier R.L. Stine?
Yeah, it's like Goosebumps for 17-year-olds or older. So, Steve, are you going to share some more disgusting scenes from the game with us or what? Come on, man.
Well, okay, that was probably the grossest, but there's another scene earlier in the game. That. You're not going to top that. I mean, I didn't get to the entire game because I think the disc was scratched, and I was like, okay, this is enough. But there was a scene earlier that was pretty gross, but it's not as bad. There's a scene where you're in a crashed airplane, and there's some flight attendant there who I guess is infected, and she's like stuck against the wall and she's squirming around making all these crazy noises, and her face is like spazzing out, and suddenly it like splits down the middle sideways and opens up and becomes a mouth. Like her face becomes a mouth. And then like out of there comes this little moth butterfly thing that starts flying around. Anyway, in the game, you're supposed to shoot the little butterfly that's flying around to kill the boss because you can't kill her otherwise. That was scary, but not disturbing.
Are these live-action cutscenes or are these, like, in the game?
No, this is all 3D stuff in the game.
This is like trying to shoot Andre Almeida's brain in Killer 7.
I think you and I are the only people who get that reference.
Yep.
More than likely.
Go play Killer 7, everybody. Oh, and also, if you want to see Big Disgusting Mouse, then level 20 of Zombies Ate My Neighbors. The first level, you meet the Snakeoids.
Hearing you say Snakeoids reminds me of a completely different topic. Does anybody else play Snake Rattle and Roll?
Yes.
This sounds familiar.
Oh, man, Snake Rattle and Roll, I played that game. It's an NES game. I played it so much when I was a kid. And I remember the name, but that's all I remember. And if I saw just one screenshot, I would be instantly warped back to 9 years old. It would be awesome. In fact, I'm going to go look it up right now.
Google.
I remember that in Marble Madness.
Madness was great.
Those games occupy very similar spots in my head because they're both isometric, right?
Snake Rattle and Roll was, definitely.
Reed, so is this where you announced that Snake Rattle and Roll is Fangamer's official next franchise?
We're actually going to sell actual live snakes and a cage to shake them in, and then you throw them at your friends and you play catch.
No, and you get a box of rolls.
Yes, and there's some uncooked muffins that come with it.
Wait a minute, it says
it should be a circular cage and you roll it at your friends.
Oh, that's good. I'm looking at the Wikipedia. It says it was developed by Rare. So is that the same as Rareware? Or?
Holy crap, I think it was. Wow.
Yeah. That, it was
a history of excellence.
Remarkably difficult for the time. So right up there with Battletoads.
Yeah, I remember I never really got through the second stage. It was so hard.
Apparently the final boss of Snake Rattle and Roll is just this giant ice foot. And it jumps around and tries to stomp on you, and you have to hit it with your tongue. The problem is, if you stop hitting it, it has magical regeneration and completely revives all of its health in 2 seconds. So you have to chase it around, constantly hitting it.
It was incredibly frustrating, especially for a little kid. And it gave me a patience that surpasses all human limits. And now I run a merchandise company online.
Hooray!
Yay! Speaking of that merchandise company, let's answer some questions about it. We got actually, this isn't so much a question as it is a comment on last week's podcast, but we got some clarification as to Kingdom Hearts, the 358/2 thing. He says, first of all, like Chain of Memories, it's between games 1 and 2, it's not a prequel. And more importantly, the title means that it goes through the 358 days from a certain point in Kingdom Hearts 1 up to 7 days before the start of Kingdom Hearts 2. So 358 is a year minus 7 days. And then the over 2 refers to the experiences of two different characters, both of whom are quote-unquote scary square goth characters. Just in case you cared, which you didn't, Axel of the Key. And you I have to say, Axel, I disagree. I did care.
You need a dissertation to figure out a game title?
Well,
these days, yes.
Who was it last week who said they had to read 300 pages and still didn't get it?
That'd be me. I looked it up on Wikipedia where it was explaining what the title was about, and it didn't make any sense. And it's like, what if that year's a leap year? How am I to infer that the 358 is minus 7 days? That's not correct that year.
I would just like to jump in here real quick and say that I am patenting the word squarey.
Squarey? Scary square?
Yeah, like characters that are supposed to be scary, but they're not.
They're not just characters made by Squaresoft, which is what we were talking about.
Yeah, I mean, square characters, they're supposed to be scary, but really, they're not that scary.
What square characters are you supposed to be afraid of, Reed?
All of
the Gold Saucer.
I was going to say, there's any number of them from Final Fantasy VIII, but we've gone over that already. Let's not go back there.
I was afraid of that little doctor with the circus clown outfit. Odine.
Wasn't he a summon?
That's Odin, Reed.
Jeez, Reed.
Come on. Get the program.
It's almost squarey how much I don't know.
Waka waka waka.
Da 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 da.
What?
All right, here's a real question. Hey, I've been wanting to ask you guys a question. Are you planning to make some new Chrono Trigger merch? Because the current store lineup is pretty much like we do some more Earthbound, then we do like 4 products for another game and then drop it, rinse and repeat. It happened like thrice with Super Mario RPG and Metal Gear. And since you're going to do DK Country 2, which I actually finished recently, nice game, it feels kind of sad to see, like, 4 out of 5 projects. Oh, no, I guess that's supposed to be 4 or 5. four or five products for each franchise in the Sea of Awesome Earthbound stuff, colon small letter C. Okay. With all the love those tiny black pixels can hold,
He's French. Don't worry about it.
Wait, Kevin, you're Canadian. Aren't you supposed to be able to pronounce this stuff?
I'm an Anglophone. I live in Ottawa.
Yeah, we're not from Quebec here.
But doesn't everything have to be written in English and French up there?
I think it's only in Quebec, isn't it?
As a matter of fact, even in Quebec, you only have to write things in French. In New Brunswick is our only officially bilingual province.
Really?
New Jersey? New Brunswick, New Jersey?
You have to write everything in English and French. And the other thing is, if the cops pull you over to give you a speeding ticket, they have to ask you before they start if you want to speak English or French to them. And if they forget to ask you, you can contest a ticket that way.
Really?
And get it taken off your license.
That is
amazing.
Allowed
to make some? Do you ever get a chance to make some awesome like verbal pun on the word Anglophone?
No, I never pun, ever.
Okay. Never mind.
So tell me, Reed, if you can, do we have some new Chrono Trigger merchandise coming?
Actually, I was going to pass this off to you. I will say yes, and I will also say that we have been working on it for a long time, and that we have been long aware of how short our Chrono Trigger merchandise has fallen of the mark, and it's going to be awesome. I mean, actually, most of it's done. Kevin, if you want to give some juicy details, you're more than welcome.
I will just say one thing. It involves Lavos, and it's incredibly sweet.
Is it a three Lavos Blun Moon shirt?
It is, actually. You got three different... You got Lavos bursting out of the ground, and then you got him floating and like shooting a beam at Chrono and disintegrating him, and then you got one more just yelling at the moon.
No, it's the three spawns, like the three on Death Peak. Come on,
yeah, Liz got it.
But there's four. There's another one in the Black Omen.
No, but he's there's the three on Stepchild. Death Peak.
But then there's the fourth one in the Black Omen.
So,
well, that
I
one doesn't
know.
Count.
It doesn't count.
Oh, it doesn't count.
Actually, maybe that is the third one, and the one that doesn't count is the one that after you kill it, it doesn't disappear, but instead you use it as a step stool. Because I always thought that was a little suspicious, how one shell doesn't disappear, and the other three do.
He went inside like a turtle, so and then he shows back up on the Black Omen.
More powerful than previously thought. Sure, okay, I'll buy that.
Yeah.
He's obviously related to Dr. Claw.
Next time, Gadget, next time.
I smell a fanfic.
No.
I bet you do.
Yeah, it smells all right.
Oh. Steve farted in the office.
Read that
you
laugh
noticed.
Makes you sound like Jay Sherman.
Or,
I don't know who
Phil
that
Ken
is,
Seven.
But that's probably good, I'm assuming.
John Lovitz and The Critic. Do you people not... Does no one remember The Critic?
I remember The Critic.
I try not to.
The Critic was great.
What I remember of The Critic, I enjoyed, but I only saw it for a short while. That and The PJs seemed like they just disappeared as soon as they showed up.
The PJs
was
pretty good,
now.
Too. Really? The PJs is?
Yeah. Really?
Weren't there only like seven episodes?
They keep repeating them.
I guess it's like the oblongs then.
Oh, it's Tuesday. The really good episode is going to be on.
Yeah, the PJs, they took the music out of the beginning and the end when they show it on Adult Swim. So it's just this, well, no, they have it in the beginning, but they don't have it at the end. It's just credits and a black screen. It's like, oh, we're supposed to do something right now or?
Like some art house flick?
I know, that's what it feels like. It's like, is this supposed to make me feel discomfort inside so that I can go and solve some problems in my local projects or?
It's profound.
If the room is quiet enough and you listen, you can actually hear Eddie Murphy counting his money in the background.
I don't think he made that much money on that show.
I think he's got enough money from other stuff.
Like Pluto Nash.
Or Norbit.
And Golden Child.
Oh, man, Golden Child's fantastic.
The last good movie was Coming to America.
Coming to America is a great movie, and Trading Places is also very good. So you can't totally disparage the man. Just recently.
Just a little.
Actually, I have a friend who's seen Golden Child. He's counted like at least 100 times.
What?
He really likes the movie. Steve's not joking.
That is weird. But that's, I guess, like, it takes all kinds.
That's like how Falk's favorite movie is Chairman of the Board.
I don't even know what that is.
I'm striking out all over the place tonight. I'll stop.
More like Carrot Top.
I caught the reference. Yeah, Carrot Top.
Thank you, Kevin. The joke was that Derek has terrible taste, but I guess that I flew
Derek,
too close to the
movie?
Sun.
Boondock Saints?
No, my favorite movie is The Godfather.
I thought it was Ghostbusters.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Or Star Wars.
Liz, I'll give you a free one here. Just imply that Derek said Godfather 3.
Oh.
No.
Oh, that is cold.
That is cold.
Passing reference to What's-Her-Face Coppola there.
Kevin, what is your favorite movie?
Empire Records.
Is that the one with Liv Tyler and...
Yes, exactly. It's got Liv Tyler, Anthony LaPaglia, Renee Zellweger. It was like breakout roles for all of these people. The chick who wound up in that really bad TV show. That wasn't
helpful at all. Oh, that's saying a lot.
Okay, so it wasn't a launching board for everybody's careers, but it was written by a screenwriter who actually had just gotten out of their 7-year job in a record store. And so everything that happens in the movie is all stuff that happened in real life, which is why it's funny, because it's true. It's directed by Alan Moyle, who also did the teenage radio breakthrough comedy Pump Up the Volume, and then later did an independent Canadian flick called New Waterford Girl.
Are you reading Wikipedia?
I am not. I know all of these things off by heart because this is my favorite movie.
I gotta admit, I kind of set you up because I was hoping you would say your favorite movie is Canadian Bacon, so I have not been listening after you started talking about Empire Records.
The only problem with Canadian Bacon is it was made by Michael Moore.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so every he time cooks I for me every morning, too.
Every time I think of Canadian Bacon, all I can think of is that sequence in Bowling for Columbine where he goes to Canada and just starts walking into people's doors because we never lock our front doors.
So wait a second, did Michael Moore seriously make Canadian Bacon?
Yeah.
Yes, he did.
I did not know that. Wow. I learned something new every day.
I think it's like his only fictional movie, I think.
Yeah, apparently he directed and wrote it.
And ate it.
Indeed.
Oh, ho, ho, ho.
I'm on a roll, folks. Stand out the way.
Making with the comedy. I'm all up on the philosophy. This is a good week. Let's answer one more letter. What do you guys think about the Pokemon games? I've been replaying through Blue and Emerald lately, and I've been really enjoying it. Jonah Bro.
Well, I'm going to stay out of this one because I only played the first Pokemon for a couple days when I was a kid. It was the first ROM I ever downloaded. And I'm not joking. That's
a beautiful
my
story.
Only interaction with it, and that's been it. Ever since like 1999, I haven't touched it.
That is amazing, Reed.
I will own up right here. I had all 151 on Pokemon Red.
I will own up here. I will tell an embarrassing story about myself, actually.
Is it about a Bulbasaur?
Not yet. Not that story. This is worse. I don't know if I've ever told any of you guys this before, but when I was in the 8th grade, I think, that would make me 13 or 14, I went to a traveling Pokemon convention that was at some mall in New Jersey, and
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry, too.
This is already bad. You were at a mall in New Jersey? That's terrible.
I was at a mall in New Jersey. I'm trying to remember. It wasn't Short Hills. It was somewhere, like, I'll never remember it, but I went to the mall. It was King of Prussia. Never mind. I went to the mall and saw the Pokemon competition and competed in it against children half my age, and I lost to a girl who was, I believe, 7 years old at the time, and I was not allowed to use my Mew because it was hacked, and I didn't know that because my friend had traded it to me saying it was real since he knew someone at NOA. And I will tell you, I cried that day when I could not use my Mew and a child beat me. I cried at a Pokemon convention. That is the loneliest moment of my life.
That is terrible.
That is rock bottom. I could shoot heroin in a gutter tomorrow, and it would be a better experience. I would rather tell my loved ones.
I'm sorry, Liz. I just don't know what to say.
I am too.
I know exactly what to say. I thought they banned Mew from tournaments because Mew was too freaking powerful.
So are you going to tell us about...
Yeah, well, they banned Mew too. So that's how I got my ass kicked. So that little girl can shove it because she was a cheater.
I specifically remember everybody just used Starmie and Articuno because they were the best
Articuno
Pokemon growth.
I was a tool because I used, for many reasons at that point in my life, but I used Moltres, Raichu, and Blastoise, which was like three fat sacks of crap.
Raichu was terrific because everybody else was like, oh, Pikachu. Pikachu's so cool, man, because he's the mascot. I'm like, no way. Once he learns all of his moves, that's it. I'm evolving him.
That's true. I do like Raichu. I've got a place in my heart for him. I think one of my old screen names back at that period of my life was, in fact, Lady Raichu.
Shameful.
Wait a second, that was you?
Shut up.
This entire conversation is just paved with pun mines. They're everywhere. You guys are stepping on them constantly, and I'm trying to keep quiet.
Just go. Just
let them loose, man. Let it all hang out.
Lady Raichu. More like Lady Achu.
Oh, that's terrible.
Reed, stop again.
I'm just saying.
Actually, funny story about those in-mall experience things. My cousin down in Boston used to do some work as a security guy. And one year they had at his mall the Pokemon traveling thing. And the guy who was supposed to play the giant Pikachu mascot costume thing went missing. So this APB goes out to mall security, find Pikachu.
Was he in the costume?
He wasn't in the costume when they found him. He was having a smoke or something. I don't remember the end of the story. But it was just another bizarre moment in one of America's shopping institutions.
You know, that reminds me, like, it's very short, but, like, at work recently, I swear to God, I was calling people at work saying, hey, we're looking for the head of Optimus Prime.
What do you do for a living?
What?
I work at customer service, and this mom and kid come up to me. He's holding this Optimus Prime and he has no head. So I'm sitting here calling people from the service desk asking, hey, have you seen the head of Optimus Prime?
I was going to say, Joe actually took a position as Michael Bay's personal junkyard manager.
Actually, what you said, we're writing the plot of Transformers 3 here.
He has the rights to Transformer 2.
Joe should have really used Megatron's voice when he did that.
By the way, Derek, I appreciated that.
You're welcome.
If I could imitate Frank Welker, I would be sucked for life.
Who's Frank Welker?
Isn't he Nibbler?
He is Nibbler. He is like the man of a thousand voices. He is actually, by appearance in movie, he doesn't actually appear in the movies. He's like does various voices, but he is the top grossing actor in movies, by revenue generated by movies, even more than Samuel L. Jackson.
Wow.
Samuel L. Jackson is the second place? Really?
I think what's so. What's
his Bacon number? Has he been in a movie with Kevin Bacon?
I cannot say off the top of my head. I would have to look that up.
We've gotten very far from Pokemon.
What's a Pokemon again?
Samuel L. Jackson's one.
I would be willing to make you a bet that some point in his career of voicing animals, Frank Welker has voiced some sort of Pokemon parody. I would put good money on that.
So there you go. Pokemon to Kevin Bacon in... How many steps was that? Moles, Optimus Prime's head, Frank Welker, Kevin Bacon. 4 steps.
Also, Kevin, to answer your question, Frank Welker has a Bacon number of 2. 2.
Really? It's higher than 1?
It is indeed.
That's crazy. What's the chain?
Apparently, Frank Welker was in Stargate, which had Richard Kind, who was in Queen's Logic with Kevin Bacon.
Huh. That's so weird. I would expect anybody who's been in more than like 100 movies, you'd think they'd been with Kevin Bacon at least once. But so, from Kevin Bacon back to Canadian Bacon, this has been your edition of the Fan Gamer Podcast. You want to ask us a question? Ask us a question. Send it to podcast@fangamer.com. Next week is Christmas, so we'll probably have lots and lots to talk about. Tell us what you got. Tell us what time of day it is or what the weather is. We don't care. For Reed, Joe, Derek, Steve, and Liz, my name's Kevin, but you can call me Simon if you want.
That's the Fan Gamer Podcast. We'll see you next time.